Kunjabihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Jayo Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe, Jayo Radha Shyam Sundara Radha Shyam Sundara Radhe, Radhe. Jayo Radha Vrindavan Bihari Radha Vrindavan Bihari Radhe. Jai Jai Prabhupad 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 Jai Jai Prabhupad Jai Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotashat Shri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotarashat Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Gaudi Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Mathura Vrindavan Dham ki, Navdvip Mayapur Dham ki, Jagannath Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayet nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamashloke bhaktir bhavati nashtiki. Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone. So we are continuing to study from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4, canto 4, chapter 21, shloka 21. This is the episode of King Prithu instructing his assembly, which consists of many exalted beings from powerful kings, demigods, rishis. So what does Prithu Maharaj instruct them? We'll see in today's shloka. Rajo Vacha Sabhai Sabhya Shrunut Bhadram Va Sadavo ya ihagataha satsu jigyasu bhirdharmam avedyam swamanishitam sabhya shrunut bhadram va sadavo va ihagataha satsu jigyasu bhirdharmam Avedyam Swamanishitam Sabhya Shrunut Bhadram Va Sadavo Va Ihagataha Satsujigyasu Bhirdharmam Avedyam Swamanishitam.
Thank you.
translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. King Prithu said, O gentle members of the assembly, may all good fortune be upon you. May all of you great souls who have come to attend this meeting kindly hear my prayer attentively. A person who is actually inquisitive must present his decision before an assembly of noble souls. Purport. In this verse, the word sadhavaha, all great souls, is very significant. When a person is very great and famous, many unscrupulous persons become his enemies. For envy is the nature of materialists. In any meeting, there are different classes of men. And it is to be supposed, therefore, that because Prithu Maharaj was very great, he must have had several enemies present in the assembly, although they could not express themselves. Maharaj Prithu, however, was concerned with persons who were gentle, and therefore he first addressed all the honest persons, not caring for the envious. He did not, however, present himself as a royal authority, empowered to command everyone. For he wanted to present his statement in a humble submission before the assembly of great sages and saintly persons. As a great king of the entire world, he could have given them orders. But he was so humble, meek, and honest that he presented his statement for approval in order to clarify his mature decision. Everyone within this material world is conditioned by the modes of material nature and therefore has four defects. But although Prithu Maharaj was above all these, still, like an ordinary conditioned soul, he presented his statements to the great souls, sages and saintly persons present there. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shudnyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare. May all of you great souls who have come to attend this meeting kindly hear my prayer attentively. May all good fortune be upon you. So this is Prithu Maharaj saying to the assembly and also me saying to all of you. So this here we have a beautiful episode in the continuation of the series of Prithu Maharaj's pastimes, now we come to a point where he's going to instruct his citizens. So the verses leading up to today's shloka have been describing Prithu Maharaj's traits, character, and supremacy, and how he is directly a Shaktyavesh avatar of Lord. So this today's shloka has two elements essentially. One is humility, envy. Humility and envy oppose each other, obviously. That's the first discussion we'll have. And the second one is how to have constructive conversations. Vada. So this is a matter of culture. So Sita Devi, Mother Sita, in presenting an argument to Ravana when she was captive in Ashokvatika, so she makes this beautiful statement that culture is a natural commentary of wisdom. So what we have learned, that should flow in our culture, in our behavior, in our actions. So it's such a beautiful way to see what is wisdom. Wisdom, natural commentary on wisdom is our culture, our behavior. So this is what Maharaj Prithu is demonstrating by his own example, that he's the Shaktyavesh avatar himself. He's also a Paramhamsa Vaishnava. He's beyond all these rules and regulations. Prabhupada says he's beyond the defects. So because we are conditioned and we have four defects, therefore we should be humble and seek clarification. I think like this. Do you think it's right? What are your perspective? Did I miss anything? Did I get something wrong? But that's not the mood of Prithu Maharaj. He's beyond four defects. Still he's seeking opinion of others. So that is culture. That's a constructive Vaishnav culture. How is it? What is the basis of it? It's not superficial respect, which we see a lot in the society outside. In front of, the politeness and superficiality is there in all their dealings. But what is at the heart of it? How will it serve my interest after this? But when Vaishnavas engage in a constructive conversation, their goal is to pursue the truth. If by presenting my opinion in front of you and you sharing your opinion, we make the matter more deep, more wholesome. Together we proceed on our journey to discovering the truth. That is the mood of a Vaishnava. That is also what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita as Bodhavyam. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan says Bodhavyam means some truths are very difficult to discern by yourself. So you have to sit in an assembly of like-minded Vaishnava and discuss. That's the meaning of Bodhavyam. Also, the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So again, it's a matter of humility. And very beautifully, Srila Prabhupada writes here, as a great king of the entire world, he could have given them orders. We are not kings, but still we like to give orders. So he could have done it, but he didn't. Why? But he was so humble, meek, and honest. So Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj said, humility is just an expression of accepting the truth. If we are honest, we will naturally know our insignificance and therefore be humble. Humility is not an individual exercise that I'll try to be humble. If you are honest to yourself, and if you know your insignificance in the world, a natural consequence is you will be humble. So it's like, therefore Prabhupada says the words humble and honest in the same flow. So that's how humility is based on. So how do conditioned souls get caught up in honor and dishonor? Because we are acting on the platform of dualities. When somebody honors us, we feel good. When somebody dishonors us, we feel bad. So a Paramahamsa Vaishnava or a true Vaishnava doesn't care for how he or she feels. Whatever they do, they are doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. So that's the underlying foundational principle. So people think, how is a devotee able to sail through all these ups and downs? They don't understand he has a different GPS altogether. His GPS is how will Krishna be satisfied. So people don't understand that map that he's using, but they see the symptoms of a Vaishnava. So therefore we have to also know what is leading to our devotee being so equipoised. It's not the jnani equipoised.
It's the Vaishnava equipoise, because it's based on Krishna's pleasure. Everything I aspire to do is for Krishna's pleasure. Whether I go through inconvenience or convenience, whether I like it or dislike it, it's for Krishna's pleasure. So I'll do it because I love Krishna. That's the paribhasha of love, sacrifice. And that's synonymous to love. So, in the same spirit of doing everything in the spirit of yajna, offering our effort, our fruits of our work, of our intelligence, very interesting. Entire Gita talks of not being attached to the fruits of our work. But if we consider work on a mental, intellectual level, what is the fruit of intellectual work? Our opinion. So we should be even detached from our opinion. We should not be attached to the fruits of our work. That means our intellectual work, the result of which is opinion. We should not be attached to it. Shamanand Prabhu uses a beautiful analogy of how to treat your opinion. Like somebody passes stool and never looks back. That's how you should give opinion, and you should not think about it too much. Because in a Vaishnava society, we should have concern. And out of that concern, we should give our opinion. But then what the greater assembly does is up to their prudence. We should not be attached. What I have said, that should be followed. That's attachment. That's ego. We have to do it over and over again, and maybe then there is some change, personal. So, therefore, Rajarishis could be softer than a feather and harder than thunderbolt. Normal people cannot, successful people or big people in this world, they cannot have both these traits together. Either they are assertive and aggressive, or they are soft and humble. But a Vaishnava is not either. His interest is Krishna's pleasure. So whatever it takes to serve Krishna, I'll adopt that mood, not attached to it. So in fact, there was a discussion between a devotee and a leader, that the devotee asked the leader that if others have different opinion to what you believe, what will you do? So what did the leader say? They are all wrong. That comes from a place of self-righteousness. I looked for the definition of self-righteousness. It's very interesting. Self-righteousness is the unfounded certainty. Unfounded means jiska koi basis nahi hai. Unfounded certainty. Main pakka guarantee se bol sakta hun. What? That I am totally correct. Or I am morally superior to you. Because if I cannot be correct, I might not have that ability to be correct. Then in my own imagination, I am morally superior to you. This moral superiority has led to so many wars. The entire Holocaust was based on this, that one race is superior to the other. And they believed it. That was coming from a place of self-righteousness. Ki hum superior hai, aap inferior ho, you don't have the right to exist, so we'll eliminate the entire race. That's the opposite of humility, maturity. So maturity, what is maturity if we come to think of it? Maturity is the ability to handle different opinions. Somebody who doesn't have that will get anxious or will get discouraged or bewildered if there are conflicting opinions. But somebody who is mature will be able to see all of the opinions in their light. We are going to see certain pastimes from Shastras which highlight this. So, first one being, when Lord Krishna was in Dwarka, in the Sudharma assembly hall, so a Brahmana came with a message to Lord Krishna. And who was that Brahmana representing? He was representing 20,000 kings who were made prisoners of war by Jarasan, because they did not agree to become obedient to Jarasan, surrender to Jarasan. So Jarasan made them captive. He imprisoned them. So this Brahmana brought the message of those 20,000 kings. The message read as follows. The king said, "O Lord, we know you are the creator and maintainer of this entire world, but we are in a situation where we are being tortured, mistreated, abused, because we are imprisoned by Jarasan. So we are seeking for your shelter and protection. Please give us protection. So, that is, that Lord heard that. And at the same time, Narad Muni came, the eternal transcendental spaceman. He doesn't need a entry pass or a schedule. So, Narad Muni came. He was speaking on behalf of Yudhishthir Maharaj, who was in Hastinapur and who was planning to have to organize a Rajasuya Yajna. So, Narad Muni gave the message and he left through the airways. Then Lord Krishna was... So, we have a situation. I am being called for the Rajasuya sacrifice because Yudhishthir is doing everything for Krishna's sake. And he considers Krishna a part of his being. So he wants Krishna to be present in his most important ceremony of Rajasuya Yajna. So very important invitation. But at the other side, there are these 20,000 kings who are in distress. So Krishna presented this dilemma to his assembly. What do you all think? Krishna is not a conditioned soul. He is not an emperor of the world. He is God. And God is seeking the opinion of others. We have many more instances in Chaitanya Charitamrita Bhagavatam also, where Lord changed his decision on the insistence or on the advice of his devotees. So, Krishna could have easily said, all of you, you know what? Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtarti. It is me who is present in all of your hearts and who gives intelligence. So what will you advise me? Sit down and listen to me. So even without being God, we generally carry this mentality of self-righteousness, of superiority. So if God doesn't do it, if we call ourselves as followers and lovers of God, why should we do it? If we do it, it's a misalignment, it's an aberration. We are not devotees of God, of that God, Krishna. So, some favored Yudhishthir Maharaj that for him you are everything. You should go first to Hastinapur and participate in the Rajasuya. Others were saying, how can you do that? You are a Kshatriya and the dharma of Kshatriya to protect. Trayati iti Kshatriya. Kshat Trayati iti Kshatriya. Otherwise, what is the use of your being a king and a Kshatriya? So, there was a difference of opinion. So then what did Lord Krishna do? Yes. He asked his trusted, confidant, devotee friend Uddhava. Uddhava, what do you think? So Uddhava, being such a devotee and beloved of Krishna, he said, Krishna, you know everything. What can I tell you? But since you asked, I can offer some opinion as a seva. I thought this is a good line to use. Since you asked, why did you ask? It's your problem. Since you asked, out of seva, I'll offer you my opinion. And after deliberation, what opinion did Uddhava offer? That Krishna, actually, to perform Rajasuya Yajna, the first requirement is that all the kings on the planet should accept the authority of Yudhishthir Maharaj. And there is one king, at least one king, who will not accept the authority of Yudhishthir Maharaj and not be submissive to Yudhishthir Maharaj, and that is Jarasan. So first you have to defeat Jarasan, and then you can... Otherwise, Rajasuya Yajna cannot happen if you don't defeat Jarasan. So he showed a logical dependency. Pehle ye karna hi padega. So others were having opinions based on their sentiments. Maybe. But Uddhav presented a more deliberate argument. So therefore, defeat Jarasan first. Now how to execute it? See the sophistication of a Vaishnava. Uddhava says, first go to Hastinapur, meet Yudhishthir Maharaj, assure him, encourage him, right, that I am here for you. You know, that's what you asked and I am here for you. So, he's also happy. Then, take Bhimsen with you because you will need Bhimsen's help to defeat Jarasan. And then from there, go to Magad and defeat Jarasan. So strategy, culture, intelligence, everything combined in one advice. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is pleased. Jarasan will be defeated and you can also come back and attend Rajasuya. So another insight Uddhava gave, that go in the form of a guise of a Brahmana, because Jarasan has huge respect for Brahmanas and he can never refuse the request of any Brahmanas. So go and invite him to a fight in the guise of Brahmanas. Now, if we see, this is the essential strategy which resulted in success. But did it come from Krishna himself? Through Uddhava, yes. But he made Uddhava the instrument to give opinion. So a leader need not feel that I know what is the right thing to do. Or because I am the leader, whatever I do is right. Both ways it works. I have this authority, this position, so it is imperative that you follow me. Because I am a leader, I am right. So both are not a favorable perspective to have. And we see this in the culture that we have been trained. Maharaj himself, he seeks opinion, always. So many meetings and conversations we have had, whether it is about Yamuna's water flow or the generators. What do you think? Even the most insignificant Prabhu in the group gets a chance to offer his or her opinion. And then, of course, see, that's the samanvay that a leader can do. He can take the differing opinions and harmonize it for a beneficial end result. That is the power of a visionary leader. They don't see conflict. They see harmony in everything. Like Uddhava presenting something which was such a harmonious strategy. After he presented, everyone will think, "Arey, yeah, this is true. Why didn't we think of this before?" But to think of that before is what makes him Uddhava. So then that's what Lord Krishna did. And that's how he handled. He offered his opinion, exactly like Prithu Maharaj is doing. So that's one instance. A second pastime or instance in our history where a similar thing happened was that when Pandavas were in Vanvas and 13 years had passed and it was their final year of incognito. So at that time, they were discussing what should Yudhishthira Maharaj do next. So Krishna, we know he's going to say in the Bhagavad Gita that I've already killed all these soldiers, just be an instrument. He could have said the same shloka there in the forest, that don't worry, I have already killed all the Kauravas, you just be my instrument. He didn't say that. He presented his opinion or his concern to the council. Therefore, you see, in the system of Vedic monarchy, it was not authoritarian, that king is the final authority. There was a complementary role of king and council of ministers, which constituted of Brahmanas. So a king would offer his opinions to the council and they would deliberate and offer their verdict or conclusion on it. Or they would verify the king's opinion. So that is the way Vedic leadership works. The administrative and the visionary, they should work together. So different people then started to share different opinions. Krishna first shared his opinion. And I think we should first try for peace. Let's send a peace messenger and see how they respond. Then Balramji spoke up. He said, exactly what Krishna is saying is right. Actually, Duryodhana should have happily given half his kingdom. But the problem is that Yudhishthira Maharaj does not know gambling well. And because he's not expert, he should not have entered the gambling match. So it is whose fault? It is Yudhishthira Maharaj's fault. So now the situation is such that we have to go and humbly beg them to give half the kingdom back. Because we did a mistake. Right? So that's the way Balramji sees it. So here is what makes difference of opinions interesting. Satyaki stood up immediately. Balramji, what's in the heart will definitely come out of your words, from your mouth sometime. So you always have had a soft corner for Duryodhan and it is showing in your words today. So Duryodhana, we should not humbly go. We should go and grab our rightful kingdom back. That is what Satyaki said. Don't forget how he insulted Draupadi. Don't forget how he cheated and tried to kill the Pandavas. So, you know, he's bringing his perspective, which is also right. Satyaki said, Duryodhana will never be open to negotiation. It doesn't appeal to him. Negotiation. I am the final authority. If I decide something is right, it's right. And then we have enough military strength. We have Arjun, Bhima, Lord Krishna on our side. So we should go and grab our rightful share. We should not be meek. So, then next, Drupada spoke. Drupada said, what Satyaki is saying is correct. Actually, he should give half the kingdom, but he will not. Because he is Duryodhan. So what is the right conduct? That depends on who the person is. Drupad said, offering sweet words to an envious person is not going to lead to any benefit. You know, like offering milk to a snake. Will it change the nature of the snake? Definitely not. So that is all. So everyone is bringing their strong opinion to it. So Drupada said, yes, send a messenger, but tell them, we want peace. This is also a very funny narrative that we find in the world. They say, we are people of peace. So follow us. If you follow us, there will be peace. If you don't, there will be a war. So that's not really peace. So Krishna, Drupad said the same thing. Tell them that we want to peacefully settle. Just give us half the kingdom and we'll be peaceful. But if you don't, then there will be a war. Actually, this is also what the foundation of Sikhism is. It says, when all other means of conciliation fail, Sam, Dan, Bhed, then even to lift weapons for the pursuit of Dharma is correct. It's not violence, it's Dharma. But to do that, you have to first exhaust all other options of Sam, Dan, Bhed. Not that, you know, that's the first. That the opposite of that is warmongering, which Srila Prabhupada said our leaders today are. Any small excuse, they want to fight a war. It's whimsical sometimes, but because they have the power, we can only watch. So then, finally, Krishna took everyone's opinion, and then he did send a peace messenger. Whatever the conclusion was, Krishna presented his final opinion that yes, we should send a peace messenger and attempt for a peace. You know, what will happen, we know, but we will have the opportunity to say that we did try for peace. So this is also a strategy. So very interesting, if you see, in Vedic monarchy, Rajarishis didn't use positional power. Ki main neta hu ya main raja hu, so you have to obey me. That's use of positional power. They use personal power. They are consulting, they are conversing, they are taking opinion and then arriving at a harmonious conclusion. So they are using their personal power, which is always the sustainable way of leadership. Position we may have today and not have tomorrow. But personal power is based on our qualities, our character. Again, the discussion seems irrelevant in today's times where character is not accorded any importance. Everything is about personality. One factor is that the way we are living. In an urbanized setup where you don't know who your neighbor is, how will you make decisions based on their character? You have hardly got to know them. In previously villages, people would stay together for a long time. And they would say, ah, ye waisa hai. Sabko pata tha kaun kaisa hai. So that was a character-based civilization. Today's urban civilization is more on, therefore the aspirations have changed in the turn of the 20th century that everyone wants not character development, but personality development. How do I come across in a short time of interaction that I have with others? Right? Every interaction should be a deal. And every conversation should be a sale. Convince them. Be assertive. Sell it. This was something which never appealed to me. When we were students, for the first time when our teacher told us, in the context of, you know, now you have to go out in the corporate world, you have to create your CVs. So she said, you should learn how to sell yourself. So half the class was in shock. Ew, sell. But you know, that's what we are trained to do there. So you have to sell yourself, literally. A third pastime we'll see is of Dhritarashtra Maharaj. we know this instance where Vishwamitra Muni, he came to Dhritarashtra Maharaj that I'm living in this forest and I'm doing yajna, and there are many disturbances, there are demons, there are rakshasas who come and spoil everything. So please give me your sons Ram and Lakshmana. So because Dashrath, before Vishwamitra Muni said this, he had already promised, oh great Vishwamitra, you have come, tell me how I can serve you. Whatever you want, I'll give. You know, that's the mood a king talks in. Kya chahiye mango? So, and then when Vishwamitra Muni asked for his sons, he was shocked. And he tried to defend that. He said, anything but my sons. I can give you my entire army. I can come myself to fight. But these are like delicate young lads. What protection can they give? So, Vishwamitra Muni said, no. You have promised, you made a promise, and if you do ulangan, you have to bear the consequences of not following your promise. So this is another beautiful instance of Vedic culture, that somebody has a strong opinion and they have strong reasons to have that opinion, but then they consult their mentor, their coach, their guru. So Vasishtha Muni came in the picture. He said, Vishwamitra Muni actually doesn't need Ram and Lakshman. He's doing this, he's asking for your sons for two reasons. Because only a Kshatriya should fight, a Brahmana should not fight. Because if Vishwamitra, who is a Brahmana now, if he fights, then it will set wrong standards, it will confuse people and set wrong precedent for future. Then any Brahmana can say, see, Vishwamitra Muni fought, so I can also fight. No, we have our roles and responsibilities in Varnashram, we have certain rights. Like Kshatriyas have the privilege to tax people. Others have to work hard to earn money, whereas Kshatriyas can simply sit and tax. Can they simply sit? No. They have to protect. Any injustice, they have to rush to the spot. They have to treat their citizens like a father treats a child. Protect them, understand their propensities and engage them. That this is what you should do because this is your nature. This is also the role of a guru. To identify the disposition of a disciple and engage them accordingly. So because Kshatriyas take that responsibility, they have certain rights. So that's what Vishwamitra Muni wanted to maintain, that Brahmana should not fight, Kshatriya should fight, therefore I need Ram and Lakshman. But then the argument could be, then why only Ram and Lakshman? Why not the Sena? So Vasishtha Muni said, he actually wants to spread the glory of Ram. Because only when Ram goes to the forest and then defeats these, and then Vishwamitra Muni takes him to Sita Swayamvar, that's how the whole Ramayana will unfold. Otherwise, he'll be another king in Surya Vamsha. So, Vasishtha Muni assured Dhritarashtra, Dashrath Maharaj, that don't worry about their well-being. Both Vishwamitra Muni and Ram and Lakshmana are all competent to take care of themselves. So take out this thought from your head that there could be some harm to them. Just, it's okay to send them. So although Dhritarashtra Maharaj didn't want to part with his son, he changed his opinion. Again, he's a king who is seeking opinion and changing his conclusion. He's ready to pivot. So that's agility. That's also how Gauranga Prabhu defines Vrajvasi. Vrajvasi is one who is ready to change at the whim of Krishna. Krishna is under danger, so all of them moved to Vrindavan. Again, there were demon attacks, so nobody questioned the seniors. You all decided that this is a safe place. This is not a safe place. You are all wrong. You are not good leaders. Let's create a coup and send new leaders. They said, if Krishna's interests are protected, we are ready to move. So that agility, that ready willingness to change for Krishna's purpose, that is what makes a person a Brajvasi. So it's easier said than done, because we hold on to our opinions, our identity, our attachments. That stops us from being a Brajvasi. Brajvasi means Jo Krishna ko pasand. So that's our aspiration, at least we should know that. So then the Ashwat Maharaj agreed, okay, you please take my sons. So you see how this way, culture that is being demonstrated in this shloka, that even if you are the highest authority, forget king, you are God, Krishna, you should seek opinion, you should consult. Prabhupada writes so beautifully, that a person who is actually inquisitive must present his decision before an assembly of noble souls. This is also a very interesting second part of the shloka. First was about humility and envy. So we'll touch upon envy now. So the word used here is satsu. Whose opinion do you give weight to? In today's democracy, everyone's vote carries an equal weight. That's not the Vedic system. Vedic system was weighted average. The council, the brahmanas, vote carried more weight, 80%. And somebody who's not that mature, that knowledgeable, their vote should obviously carry less weight. Otherwise, it becomes a number game. It becomes vox populi. And you can manipulate that mass opinion, as we see, as is being done in democracies across the world. So if you don't decide whose opinion to pay weightage to, the outcome can be disastrous. So So Prabhupada says that because Prithu Maharaj was such a great king, naturally there were some people in the assembly, in his assembly, in his court, in his kingdom, who were also envious of him. So how do you deal with such people? Prabhupada and Bhagavatam says that what did Prithu Maharaj do? He ignored them. He presented his opinion to the satsu, to the noble souls who are not envious. Because Prabhupada says, envy is a characteristic of materialistic life. So therefore, the first qualification to become spiritual is to cultivate a sense of non-enviousness. That's how Bhagavatam starts. Because you are non-envious, you are a qualified candidate to receive this instruction. So, reminds me of an instance in my life when I was, in a similar situation that, of course, I cannot use this platform for self-promotion. It's a sacred platform. So I'll just present the lesson. It's that when you seek everyone's opinion, I said somebody was giving me a position before, I'm not talking of devotional context, it was in a college setting. So there was the senior offered a position of authority. In my immaturity, in my naivety, I said, if everyone is okay, I'll accept it. But definitely there were some elements in the classroom who were not okay for various reasons, because they themselves had another opponent who they wanted to put there. So once I said, if everyone is okay, then the in charge, he opened to everyone. Is everyone okay? So, and obviously not. Everyone will never be okay. So we should know how to navigate. We can only address the satsu, because otherwise our vision will be hijacked. So especially in today's culture of where everyone is so present on the social media, a big stress and problem that people are facing is of trolling. Anonymously, unqualified, uninvited, anonymous people are, criticizing you like left, right, center. That, and how much capacity does a person have to handle criticism? We were not made to live with this technology. Technology is way ahead of our human capacity. How many friends can we actually make? But the friend list today have hundreds. You cannot have meaningful relationship more than a handful of people. And same with criticism. How much criticism can one person handle? But if you are trolled, then, literally it's a disaster. So this is what we are being taught, that there will always be envious people and you have to bypass them, you have to navigate them, you have to address the satsu. So this is such a mature wisdom that is being presented in Bhagavatam. It is not that be a saint, so practicality is also highlighted here. So this is the standard that we should follow. Nobody should impose authority, but they should be humble and in a devotional mood, offer their best ability and ask for others' opinion so that collectively it's the best outcome that results. What happens is two things. The advantage of seeking opinion leads to two positive things. One is inclusiveness and other is the buy-in of the team members. Everyone feels valued when you seek opinion. And second is they buy into your vision. Because when you take their opinion and then you arrive at a conclusion, they were part of the decision making. So then they also have to commit themselves to the execution. So this is not only shastric, this is also very strategic. So vinitasya, a leader, a king, is being trained to be humble, vinita. And an exact opposite of that, what we see in the pastime of Romaharshan Sud, again Balaramji was present there. So Romaharshan Sud was adantasya avinitasya. He was sitting on a platform giving Bhagavatam pravachan to thousands of people. But did he have the qualification, the traits to occupy that position? Balaramji didn't feel so. And one of an obscure member of that assembly was Suta Goswami. Nobody knew him. But Balaramji thought that this Romaharshan Sud, who is speaking out of arrogance, is only repeating the lines. Is only when such a person speaks scripture, it's like a drama, it's like an artist repeating their dialogues. No offense. It's like there is no investment in it, there is no emotion in it. It's not real, it's not authentic. But Suta Goswami was empowered by Balaramji. And you are the rightful, who can take this role of speaking Bhagavatam to everyone. Why? What qualities did he have? Adantasya, avinitasya, opposite. One is sense control, knows how to use your words and actions. Other is vinita, humility. So humility, the problem is if we go and use these spiritual virtues in a materialistic world, people will not value it, they will not understand it, they will in fact exploit it. So we should also have a conducive environment to practice these principles. That's why there is a need for a community, a commune of like-minded people. The more, Prabhupada says, more and more people, when they start doing this, actually we should understand our happiness is tied to each other in this world. That's how the concept of yajna is explained in the Gita. If you want to be happy, the society also has to be happy. So you don't do things only for your selfish interest, do it for the greater good. And when you contribute to the greater good by means of charity, by means of kindness, and if everyone is doing that, that what goes around comes around. And that is the only way we can be happy. And the key to our happiness is in the hands of other people. And similarly, the key to other people's happiness is in our hands. So why should we be miser in not being kind and compassionate? So Krishna, when he introduces yajna in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, he says, I sent jivas and I sent yajna. So the way this world was supposed to function originally was a sense of interdependency. This world is a community, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. The more we go away from that concept, and today's economic theories are exactly opposite of that. What do they say? Just think of your self-interest. And if everyone thinks of their self-interest, the market equilibrium will be achieved. Because if the seller wants to sell at the highest price and the buyer wants to buy at the lowest price, then automatically the price will be equilibrium. It will reach an equilibrium. This is a real theory which we are following in today's policies and decisions in businesses. But you see where it is coming from. It is coming from a place of selfishness. So which culture do we, give ourselves, subscribe to? In fact, Gauranga Prabhu once shared an instance where, there was some issue and there was some problem in the community, and Maharaj, there were certain disciples who were not doing something right. And Gauranga Prabhu said, he told to Maharaj, Maharaj, they are your disciples, just tell them they should not do this. Maharaj said, I cannot tell them. So we see when the advice of the scriptures is seen around us, when the role models around us exemplify it, that gives us faith that it is possible to practice it. It's not a theory. So that is the way a leader is supposed to behave. In fact, if we look at the introduction of Upadeshamrit, that defines who a real leader is. One who has controlled all one's urges in respect of senses, mind and ego. Because they have no self-interest left, they are the best persons to occupy the role of a leader. Not those who have vacuum in their hearts and have selfish motives and will use that position to attain that. But somebody who has already reached a platform of equilibrium and satisfaction, and then what they can do with that power is only welfare. So it's important who we get on. Prabhupada used to say, because you know, you get the wrong people in those places of authority, therefore you have to suffer the consequences. So in Vedic culture, even within monarchy, there was democracy. So when Prithu Maharaj is asking for opinion, that is democracy. So he was the king. So we criticize monarchy because we don't know how it works. We are in a very different context today. We cannot really understand how it was. So monarchy of Vedic culture also included democracy. But in today's democracy, it's more in name only. But everyone, the people in power, are taking decisions to retain their power and make political mileage out of every work that they do. One small bridge and a big poster comes up. Who did this? So you see, the motive is so different because they are unfulfilled within, or they have a motive of holding on to power. So is this democracy? We don't know. So when everyone takes care of their responsibility in a cooperative mood, that's the best that's the best situation. And there, only then that can lead to harmony and peace in society. So although Srila Prabhupada criticized democracy, within his own society, he structured the management in a democratic way. There will be a committee, there will be a governing committee. There will not be one supreme leader. So that's Prabhupada's, you know, pragmatism. Because bhakti belongs to everyone. So as much as possible, we should take the opinion of all practitioners. There might be some constraints to do it, but we should endeavor for it. We should have that as a mindset at least. So we touch briefly on how to have such, now how does it practically apply to us? We are not kings or we are not the presidents. So, you know, I don't have to ask for opinion. Others are already flooding me in their opinions and pressures. So three qualities are important to cultivate. And before that, we'll see, according to Nyaya, there are three kinds of conversations that can happen. One is Vada. Vada is exactly what is happening in the courtroom of Prithu Maharaj. It's a civil debate or a seeking of opinion. As we discussed previously, maturity is the ability to handle differing opinions. So when you open yourself up, okay, this is what I have understood, what do you think about it? It gives perspective, it gives depth, and also because, as Prabhupada says, we have four defects, it also saves us from mistake if we take opinion. So when we are engaging in a conversation with anyone, and the mood is not to impose my opinion, but to actually listen, be open to change and transformation. And we should have a desire to discern the truth. Sach ki talash. When somebody has that motive, they are more open to accept opinion. Because they really want that the subject matter should be discussed nicely and we should reach a conclusion. Like if I have some, you know, lack of clarity on a certain philosophical aspect, so I go to Madhav Gopal Prabhu, I go to Gaurang Darshan Prabhu. So then they present, okay, this is what it is, and you know, in his previous class, Gaurang Darshan Prabhu so beautifully presented, and that stuck to me. Anything that a pure devotee does is devotional service. Everything else is conventionally used. Even if Prithu Maharaj is doing yajna, which appears to be karmakand, it is pure devotional service. So that is the matter of consciousness. We get attached to the motions. And Krishna says in Gita, it is not the motions or the action which decide the result, but the consciousness with which they are, in which they are done. So, you know, we should be careful of judging pure devotees, and anyone around could be a pure devotee. So what they are doing may appear to be non-devotional or materialistic, but with what intention they are doing it, we never know. And we want to be judged for our intention. Mujhe galat mat samjho, mera man mein ye nahi tha. Actually, we should judge others for their intention, and we should judge others, ourselves for our action. We should hold ourselves accountable for our actions. How do I expect people to understand what's in my mind? Let me hold myself accountable to whatever I do. So this discerning search for truth, those who have, they can engage in constructive conversations. And as we discussed in this shloka, there should also be a sense of humility and service attitude. That means not debating out of ego or pointless listening. So the second kind of conversation, which is one level lower to vada, is, in fact, if you see our scriptures, they are not a set of commandments that you have to do this. Our Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is a vada. It's samvada. It involves proper question and answers between a qualified teacher and a curious, sincere student. That is when the best outcome comes. The student is able to understand it clearly and the teacher is able to present confidently and, you know, even share their innermost secrets. So who does humility benefit? We have lost a culture of respect in our society because we think that by respecting, I'll become lesser. But what does respect actually do? If you think about it, respect brings out the best in the other person. When you're interacting with someone and you're respecting them, they will give their best to you. So who's really benefiting out of respecting others? You're not losing anything, you're only benefiting. So you see how diverse, how opposite Vedic culture and today's materialistic ideology is. So the second level of conversation, a lower level of conversation, is argument. It's like it literally ends up in a fight. And each party tries to prove their superiority. Why is India great? Because I am an Indian. Why is not Germany great? So, as in the first level of conversation, which was vada or samvada, the founding principle is that both parties are interested in discerning the truth and both are open. The foundation of jalpa, or the second, is ego. Gauranga Prabhu gave a beautiful understanding that, you know, generally we have this stereotypes that if somebody is in pursuit of knowledge or learning, they are brahminical. But he said, if somebody is pursuing knowledge for the sake of expanding their influence, that is not brahminical, that is kshatriya. To spread one's influence is kshatriya nature. So you are warrior in brahmana robes. In fact, you are misusing the position of a brahmana, your scholarship to spread your influence. So these nuances are, you know, very difficult to catch. So jalpa is both parties try to prove their superiority. Main bol raha hu to ye sahi hai. And it ends up in, it's not a constructive conversation. It's a lost cause. There's no point in even continuing. Even worse than that is the third type of conversation. The most degraded level of conversation is vitanda. Now vitanda doesn't stop at establishing one's supremacy or superiority. It also goes ahead to malign the other person, you know, to insult them, to throw personal insults. That we know how character assassination happens in conversation. It's not related to the argument, but they assassinate the character so that the argument can be won. That's the lowest level of conversation we can have. So we should be conscious of the conversation that we are engaging in and try to raise them to a level of jalpa or... Oh, sorry, raise them to a level of vada or samvada. Sam means harmonious. Vada means a dialogue. So, Gauranga Prabhu again gives this beautiful understanding of how even in Mughal rule, the Goswamis of Vrindavan were able to establish huge majestic temples with the royal help, with royal stone and with royal labor, artisans. How? Because both the powers of authority chose to take a few steps back. And that is what constitutes a dialogue. And there's a book on the history of Radha Madan Mohan Temple in Vrindavan. A person has done PhD in it, and he goes on to study the history of it. And beautifully he has titled it as A Dialogue in Stone. So when we see Madan Mohan Temple, it should remind us of what is a cooperative mood. What does it mean to be dealing or approaching the world in a vada mood. I'm not here to prove my superiority. I'm not here to destroy your character. I'm here to improve. And I'm here to explore the truth. Let's together reach a higher position. So we should remember that whenever we see Madan Mohan. So these are the three types of conversation which we see ties in back to the shloka, where Prithu Maharaj, who is not only the king, not only a Paramhamsa Vaishnava, not only a Shaktyavesh avatar of Vishnu himself, he is choosing to be humble and getting into a vada with his assembly. So how much more is it encumbering on us to practice it? We should That should be a meditation of this shloka. So these were a few thoughts I wanted to share. If anyone has any questions or comments or realizations of practicing or not being able to practice all this.
This is not a question, Prabhu. I am really amazed about you are a secretary in many meetings. And it is said that, you know, silence is one of the, I mean, it's a great virtue. So I want to ask you that how you keep yourself quiet when you think so many arguments going on decision making. And I never heard you even utter a word, you know, you are very quiet and listening. How do you do that?
This is not related to the shloka. It's very easy actually. Like when Uddhava was asked by Lord Krishna, he said, because you asked, out of seva for you, I'll offer my opinion. I don't have any authority, so I've never asked. But a very important thing, as you rightly said, it's a great opportunity to observe leaders deal with each other. Maharaj deal with senior devotees and people of power. It's not about the whole mood. Entirely what we are studying is what we see in our meetings. You would agree. So, and you know, it's so humiliating that after the conversation we feel, oh my God, I started with such a bad opinion. And look where this conversation has come to. So it's humbling. It's also very, you know, it's insightful. So I'm in a good, comfortable audience's seat. I'm getting to observe all this. If I'll be able to put it in practice, I don't know. Anything else?
Hari Bol. Prabhu, you said that Vada is where we try to discern the truth. So, for Vada to happen, do we need that both the parties have the same disposition? Otherwise, if we are only looking for truth and the front person is trying to prove or put on his opinion, So then how can we convert it into...
Obviously, see, that's the beautiful complementary nature of our Vedic culture. Each party has their own virtues to follow. A host is trained to see the guest as God. But the guest is trained to not overstay. So when both follow their roles, it leads to a complementary, harmonious situation. So when Lord Ram was coronated as king, he gave his kingdom in charity to the Brahmanas. Now if the Brahmanas were not of real Brahmanical nature, they would have like, thank you very much, now we are the kings. They said, what will we do of it? We give it back to you as a prasad. So obviously we need a suitable party, a match to have this kind of vada. Therefore even in marriages I feel, you cannot just train one party that you have to follow these traits. Will they be meeting a suitable partner who will also value these traits? That is what makes a match. So if both have different ideologies, one is humble, the other will exploit. So it definitely needs a matching disposition. Therefore, vada cannot happen, you know, anywhere and with everyone. So that's what brings us to the understanding of sajatiya ashray. We finally have to resonate with like-minded people. That's where we'll find our nourishment, our shelter. Bodhavyam means discern the truth in the company of your close like-minded people. Because that creates an environment of openness, of not being judged, of being accepted. Therefore, that is when you will share your deepest thoughts. Otherwise, you will keep so many guards and filters. So for a conversation to be honest, both parties have to have trust in each other. So definitely, yes.
I have one comment. The one point you said that when we offer respect to people, it's we who gain the much. Because when we respect others, then the best side of them comes out. So many times, even if we just
this is converse, my own speculation. I have not read it anyway.
It works for me.
It works for me also.
Like when you offer respects, like you are trying to engage in vada, or respecting or honoring the other person's opinion, and you're open for it. It may take some time.
Exactly.
But maybe over the years, exactly. He will also start respecting your opinion and try to adjust his opinion also. So just by giving respect, we can expect that sometime the person will come to his best capacities.
True. See, Sattvagun strategies take time and they are, you know, seem difficult to start with, but they are the most sustainable ones. The easiest way to stir people into action is out of fear, which is the lowest motivator. So the more noble your cause, the more effort and the more time it will take. But you should be assured the outcome will be the best. And it will sustain. नहीं तो fear से कुछ किया और वो बाद में collapse हो जाएगा. So, you know all this. We were in the seminar together. Okay, anything else? Any questions, comments? Yeah, you can share your thoughts. It's a free forum. It's a Vada assembly. I'm not superior.
I just actually wanted to thank you, Prabhuji, and all at ISKCON here at Govardhan Eco Village. You said, do you have a question? I just wanted to say thank you so much, because I come with questions, or maybe not really vocalized questions, there in my heart, in my mind, and I find the answers when I just sit here and listen. Sure. So thank you.
Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So these are ancient wise sages of the past, knew all about human nature, human thoughts, emotions. So they have worked it out, distilled it and presented it. Because things have changed. We are living a life today which is so much centered around technology. Is this Vedic knowledge relevant to us? Somebody asked me. I said, this is, first of all, it is not human. It is apaurushaya. So it is not a product or effect of time. It is not that this was meant for 5,000 years back. It's timeless, it's universal, because it talks of essential human nature. That never changes. You may have technology or you may be in a village, human nature will be the same. So that's what it is addressing. Human nature, human mind, human desires, human emotions. And therefore it is perfect and it has all the answers. And I would say mature answers, because many people feel that this is a little too much for them. So they go for compromised material solutions to material problems. But that is only temporary. If you are a little patient, if you are a little sincere, what is more sustainable is to seek spiritual solutions for all problems. And that is what Bhagavatam teaches us. So it is a very practical, very strategic book, as we saw today. So we should take complete shelter of it. So, yeah, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.